Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. Hey, somebody can play football.
He's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
What is up, Steelers Nation? Welcome to Black and Gold NFL Recap. Same show as the NFL through Black and Gold Glasses, same podcast, same trio, new shining name. I am joined, as always, by Fred Zhang and Bob Sabo. What's up, Fred?
Hey, Matt. Hey, no, excited at our what's becoming our family's annual trip to training camp with Sobo last week. Psyched about training camp, excited about football starting and Steelers, if you want to call that real football last night, but fun nonetheless, and excited about our streamlined new name, so ready to go.
Excellent. What's going on with you, Sabo? How are you doing, man?
I'm angry.
Angry.
In preseason games, 2-12. Does it really matter? But I'll tell you what I did that I liked. I saw Fred's pictures that was when he was up in Steeler training camp. He has such a good-looking family. He married up so well. He has to be the luckiest guy in the world because there's no way. I can't say this about his wife that he's built because I can't say that on the – oh, yes, I just did it. Oh, okay. Everything.
All right, guys. So we, of course, have actual real football to talk about. We have, I mean, not regular season football, but it's preseason. It's padded football. We have stuff to talk about. It was exciting. It was, you know, it was disappointing but exciting, and you really gotta take it with a grain of salt because it is the first padded game in 9+ months. First impressions of the game. Fred, what did you think about it?
Building off what Sable said, how we're 2-12 in our last 14. Not surprised because although there's a general approach to these preseason games, not all the coaches do it the same. And even though after the game, Tom wants, you know, said, you know, disappointed, we didn't finish into this, we didn't do that. You could just tell that that's not what they're there for. So some areas that, you know, on the surface, you know, looks not great, but again, it's one game and we don't know what the coaches are trying to find out. And our starting defense was essentially in there for the first drive, or at least, you know, first half of the quarter. So some people might be concerned that they weren't playing, but again, there's no game plan. There's no studying the other opponent. You're just trying things out and seeing how players respond. So I know, Steeler Nation had quite a few today. I saw the comments on Behind the Steel Curtain, and some of them were ready to toss in the towel already. But, so we'll get into it. There was definitely some good things to look at and things that need to be shaped up.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, interesting game, to say the least. I mean, starting off talking about the offense, I thought there were some good, you know, good and bad things that happen. Of course, I mean, anytime you take out Ben Roethlisberger and you don't put him in the game, I mean, we're playing the game without Ben, Bell, Brown, with Darius Green, who we'll talk about a little bit later. It's, you know, it's going to be a little rough. This is really the Landry Jones show, for better or for worse. And I honestly thought he did, you know, he was better than I expected. He, you know, not throwing picks, was better under pressure. I mean, especially with, you know, the pressure that he was experiencing. And I'm honestly going into the season, I'm pretty comfortable with Jones as the backup. I am not confident, however, in the guys behind him, being Dustin Vaughn and Gronkowski, who may not even make it to the regular season. Gronkowski, of course, had one snap, took it in, went for a scramble, slid down, and hobbled off. He said he heard a pop in his hamstring, and apparently he was going for an MRI. I don't have the results yet. I haven't seen any. But that could be serious. That could keep him out. And for a guy who has apparently been kind of struggling in training camp, not throwing anything beyond 15 yards is what I've heard, that's not good at all. What do you think about the QB group, Brett?
Yeah, the same, you know, pretty much you thought. I was Landry Jones, while he didn't look great, he looked like at least he belonged. He looked at least more confident, and he had a drop by Hebay, although he did come up with a nice touchdown catch in the back of the end zone to kind of redeem himself. But much more confident in him that, you know, I think I'm with you. We're okay. He knows the offense. And again, a lot of times he did play with the first string offensive line, if you will. A lot of the guys, as you mentioned, weren't there, you know, AB. So fine with him. Bruce, I think from when you had said and hearing in camp, he had gotten the fewest reps of any of the quarterbacks. I think even counting Ben, who doesn't, you know, always take a lot. He's given days off and was looking the shakiest. So I think he was on the bubble to begin with. And this injury, in the last couple of years, he's been made of glass. He couldn't get through last year with the shoulder. And so, you know, you hate to call anything too early, but he was iffy to begin with. So I think his chances are really down to, you know, you want to give maybe a 10% chance if you want to throw a number out there. So, yeah, well, that's another year of let's hope Ben doesn't get hurt, I guess.
That's right. Landry Jones is who we think he is. Landry Jones would probably be a good third-string quarterback, but on this team he's going to be a second-string quarterback. I know Fred was up at camp. I was watching Bruce Gradkowski, and the man can't throw anything over 15 yards anymore. I don't know if it's his shoulder. But we're going to be looking right now. I can't see him making this team. It's going to be Dusty Vaughn's going to be your third quarterback, and there's nothing out there that we could pick up that we're in trouble, but Landry could, one or two games, he could come in and maybe get us one victory, but I don't think Rakowski's going to make it. Shoulder, he can't throw. I can throw it 15 yards, and I got a bad wing.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. There's one guy who I'm just praying a miracle happens and he somehow comes in. That's the backup in Oakland, the third string. I think it's McGloin. He has looked sharp the past couple of preseason, and there's rumors being floated out that the Raiders only get keep two, and he might be released. I think that would be a bad decision, and it's a just flat-out dream scenario, but he has looked nice. I believe he's a Penn State guy. Am I right on that? Is he Penn State?
Matt McGloin. I was going to say, yeah, the Raiders drafted, what was it, the Michigan State quarterback this year?
Right.
I believe. Yeah. which was I was a little surprised. I'm not sure, but because they have McGlinney there. But yeah, right now I don't think that's high on the Steelers' priority list. You know, like apparently they feel comfortable off of Landry Jones, so I wouldn't expect them to be looking hard to pick up somebody. But we'll see as we get near the end of camp.
Remember, Matt.
Right.
Matt McGlinney's, if he gets cut, there's so many other teams looking for a backup quarterback. And for him to get all the way down to the Steelers, he's got to go through every other team that didn't make the playoffs. So
yeah.
I can't see them getting a shot at him. If everyone passes on him and it gets to us at 25, 24 other teams would have to pass on him. I don't think he gets to us.
You got to crush my hopes and dreams there, Bill. It's brutal. So talking a little more about this Pitt offense, talk about Jones, you know, Tomlin was saying that he looked all right, but it's hard to tell because it was three and out, and you didn't get to see long sustained drives. You didn't really get to see him in the red zone often. The 2-minute drill was a, you know, 3-play drill. We're not getting to really see what he's doing. It's fine with backups. It could be expected, but maybe a little bit less so, we're hoping, as we move forward. And part of the reason why we're going 3 and out so much was his protection, the O-line. I think it starts and ends with unexpected play of Alejandro Villanueva. I don't think that was a bad showing. There's no other way to cut it. That was a bad showing from a guy who is our starting left tackle, and he has had much better games than that. Any concern moving forward, guys? What do you think?
Yeah, I was disappointed. It was right off the bat. I mean, the first thing you saw was he had that hands to the face penalty, which negated what looked like a first down on a catch to Eli Rogers, and then got beaten badly. So I think everybody expected that he, you know, considering his baptism by fire last year, he did okay, and I think everybody expected with another year of, you know, training camp and off season and working with Munch, that you think he's going to move forward. And it's only one part of one game, but a little more concerned than I had before it. And I think maybe, I don't know what the final last year, they said they helped him out a lot. They have tight end chip and do different things. And maybe this year looking to not do that, figuring he'll progress, but it would be unfortunate if you had to go back to use that as your plan, because then of course it cuts away some of your options that you can use. So not the sky is falling, but more concerned than I had going in. And even though he hasn't been anointed a starter, he and Ryan Harris have been taking turns just about every other practice, running with the first and second team, flip flopping. But Harris is a journeyman and kind of brought in as insurance and maybe to push going the way. So it's not, I mean, by all accounts, it was expected for his job to kind of prove that he earned it. I don't think he has quite yet. What do you think, Chris? Sable. Thinking of Chris Sable playing for the Reds. Jeez.
Oh yeah. I have all his baseball cards too. I'm going to give the phone number now, if that's okay with you guys. 347-850-8581. Ryan Harris is going to be a good backup to Villanueva, but I think Villanueva is going to start. Here's what I said a couple years ago. Everyone's saying Marcus Gilbert is such a great right tackle, but you got to remember a couple years ago when it was him and Adams, Mike Adams, who's now in Chicago, so you can just see how bad their offensive line is.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it came down to they were both on the left side. Now, Gilbert couldn't make the left side, and I think he is a natural left-hander. He couldn't play the left side, so they moved him to the right side. Okay, everyone said Mike Adams couldn't play the left side. Well, neither could Gilbert. That's why they moved him to the right side. If you would have had Mike Adams as your right tackle, that's all he can – he's a very good run blocker. Okay, so – Gilbert should have been. Right now, if you want to have your best run blocker, That's Villanueva moving to right tackle and Gilbert going to left tackle. I know we're talking about two different moves, but I think that would make the team so much better because Villanueva, he would kill people in the run game and everything like that. And, Fred, you were up camp. Did you see that the Hawkins kid?
I did. Hawkins. I got to see him play a little bit. And,
he looks like a tackle and everything. Maybe down the line, that's the guy and everything. I think Villanueva is going to – I'm sorry. There's no way Harris is going to push him unless there's an injury. We almost got – we were so close to getting the Super Bowl with Villanueva. I don't think he's going to lose the job. But you got two nice backups just in case, veteran and Harris. And this Hawkins looks like a player to me. When I saw him up camp, he looks like a – he looks like he eventually is going to be your guy.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned Hawkins because there has been some buzz from that big disappointment that he got injured. I heard it's nothing serious. Hopefully he can be back in this next game. Hopefully soon. The kid needs time to develop. Everything about him coming out was that he was raw. But if he had stayed in school, maybe came out next year, he could have been a first, second rounder. Which, if that's the case, then we got a steal. So that could be the game plan. Have Big Al as a stopgap. Hope for the rookie moving forward. And we'll see what happens with that. It definitely could work. I'm glad you saved me this, Angel. I completely forgot to mention the guest call number. And again, for everyone listening, that is 347-850-8581. Just call in, join the conversation, talk a little about the game, vent, get your anger out, express what you're happy about. Back to talking football, finally. Any other real guys on the O-line that stood out to you? I thought, you know, everyone else did a pretty, you know, fine job. If there's no one else, we can move on over towards the let's go tight end group because that's something we got to talk about. It's not something we love to talk about with how they play, but it's something we got to talk about. Jesse James, he didn't look too hot, did he, guys? He didn't do anything horrible. He didn't do anything Sammy Coates horrible, but he didn't stand out as someone who you can be confident about moving forward as your tight end one. Initial thoughts, Fred?
Yeah, well, but that was my initial thought on Jesse James. I think he ended up with one catch, which was like a 3rd and 10. They dumped a 5-yard to him, and he basically didn't have a chance to get any more with it. The other one was like a little 3-yard just off the line, and it looked like he was mugged by the linebacker. But if you want to call it a drop, he just appeared as confident as I would have expected having a whole year in. I mean, and I guess only one game. He played about half the game from what I saw as far as number of offensive snaps. But I was expecting a little more. And you don't know what they were trying to run and target. And he certainly didn't seem like he was out in the passing game up. But a little underwhelming from my standpoint, especially as you alluded to earlier, the future of Darius Green is more up in the air than we thought. So it could become a bigger issue. Just quickly to the other guy, another tight end, Xavier Grimble. I did happen to see, and I saw it when it happened on the play, and I played the replay. He did a respectable job on a play we've seen run many times over the last few years by the Steelers, their counter, where he lines up as the right kind of wing back, and it was actually B.J. Finney playing right guard. He came around and pulled to the left, and Grimble came out and kicked his guy out and had a nice seal block. So one of the biggest things on Grimble was his blocking is up to par. And he certainly did a decent enough job there. I don't know that he's going to be a standout, but again, with Green being who knows when coming, then certainly we may need to carry another tight end that we wouldn't have before. And so – I don't think it was great. I don't think it was bad. It was just kind of, they didn't show a lot, but maybe they weren't asked to show a lot. And I can't say, in the run game, how much they did or not. But
You know what? My turn now. Jesse James looks thin to me. He looks like, I don't know how many pounds he lost, 10 to 15. Why would you lose that much? He looked like, I don't know if you guys remember Ouija Thompson, Collingsworth.
Yep.
He does not look like a tight end to me because he lost all that weight and everything. Are they trying to make him go outside? You know, almost like a wide receiver, split him out and everything. I can't see why he lost all that weight. He didn't get stronger, it doesn't look like. I mean, his arms are smaller than my arms. I doubt if I could out-bench press him now and everything like that. I can't remember. I saw David Johnson, I think. He looks like he would be the blocking tight end, or this Grimble. One of those two would be the blocking tight end. And I'm looking at the free agents now. I'm going to give you two names, and then I'm going to give you a third name you're just going to just drop over with. The one is Owen Daniels, is still out there. Good blocker, catches the ball. I mean, he blocked for Foster. The other one is that kid from Buffalo, Scott Chandler. He's a better blocker. And here it is. There's the third one. Heath coming back. What do you guys think?
did you want to take a shot at that one, Matt?
I don't see it happening. I'd love it to happen. People in the open thread last night on behindthefilmcurtain.com were talking about maybe it can happen, maybe Ben can get him to come back. But I don't think Heath is the kind of guy to flip-flop. I think he's a decisive guy. I think he made his choice. We saw him at 10 games enjoying retirement, looking like he's having a fantastic time. I don't see it happening. At the same time, if what we're hearing about Green is true, that these headaches are getting, you know, they're reoccurring, that he could, there's a report out that he could potentially retire, but I'm not buying into that until it gets more serious. But if they end up releasing Green, of course they're going to bring someone else in. I think it could be one of those guys that you mentioned. I don't see it being Heath. At the same time, just like with every performance in the first preseason game, I'm trying not to read too much into it because I know there's nerves. I know it's the first padded game in, you know, 9 months. Everyone's making mistakes. Al's making mistakes. Coach is making mistakes. James is making mistakes. And we've seen, at least from James and Big Al, we've seen them play better. We know they're capable of it. So I'm worried, but at the same time, I'm trying to be optimistic moving forward and see what happens. I definitely don't see Heath coming out there. Do you, Fred?
No, on that one, I would say not a chance. He decided, you know, he's the type of guy with his personality. I'm sure he thought about it, you know, and he knows what he's doing. I'm sure he hasn't been putting in the time to work out and do that stuff he's enjoying. So, you know, you could win $1 million with me if you bet that wouldn't save up, because I would bet there's no way he'd be selling back. There's two guys. Chandler, wasn't he cut by the did he play for the Patriots last year? Isn't that what they had?
I remember when he was Buffalo, yeah. But I think he did play for the Patriots last year too.
I think he caught one of the touchdowns as well against us in an opening game. Gronkowski had three, and I think he had the other one. So I think they cut him. So I thought he had some kind of injury thing. I mean, suffice to say that if Green can't play at all this year and it goes that way, we'll have to, you know, make some kind of move. But we'll just see what happens. That's all I'll say on that one. We'll see what happens.
Freddie, what kind of odds you give me on Heath coming back? You're going to put up $1 million, and I got to put up what?
You wouldn't have to put up much.
$1.2 million? Okay. No, here's what I'm going with. Who's Heath's best friend on the team?
Ben.
Okay. D'Angelo Williams sends him a tweet. Hey, let's ride one more time. Let's go to the Super Bowl. You don't think if Green's as bad as we this Green thing has given me a headache. If they're that, yeah. if they need someone to take Green's place, you don't think the Steelers offense is going to call Heath and say, what do you think? Would you like to come back for one more year? Now, training camp ends this week. He wouldn't have to come to training camp. Get him in the week after. It's not going to take him that much. I know that's my third pick, but, you know, I want to win $1 million anyway, but.
Man, yeah. I'd love for it to happen. I don't see it happening. He retired. We don't really know, as far as I know, the full reason why it kind of caught everybody off guard that I've talked to, at least, and everybody in the media. I would love for it to happen. I refuse to let you get my hopes up because that's just that. Even that's the best case scenario, man. That would be fantastic. But we'll see what happens to the floor. We just gotta watch, see if that was nerves with James. See if he plays better. See if Green can just, you know, come back, make everybody forget this ever happened. We'll see. Talking about,
can I give the phone number again?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to give the phone number again. I want people to call in about the Heath, what they think about Heath coming back. Do we have a chance? Dial 347-850-8581. I want to hear someone talk about Heath coming back. I think I'm one against two on this one and everything. I need
like
someone back
against
me up.
2 million. Yeah. Like you're one against 2 million. On this.
Guys, don't have my back on this one.
We'll see what happens. I also want to take a quick second and just mention our sponsors and give a shout out to Frank Walker Law, of course, and the show is also sponsored by Centerfield Smoke, the best and most unique Pittsburgh sports apparel provider for Pittsburgh fans everywhere. We'll check back in with Frank Walker Law a little bit right around when we switch to the defense. But moving to the next three wide receivers, good and bad, of course. Hayvay had that fantastic play. Also had a typical Hayward Bay drop on a key third down. Hayward Bay was what we expect Hayward Bay to be. He was fast, and he dropped an easy catch. Sammy Coates was what we were pleading he would not be, which was the turnover machine. He flashed his potential, and then he was a little careless with the ball. The first play, the first fumble looked like just a solid hit from the defender. And that happened. I mean, even Le'Veon Bell fumbled, and he never fumbled. The second fumble, though, you can watch it. That ball is a foot away from his body. It is off to the pine tie. That is low and loose. And when you hold it like that, you're going to fumble every time. But honestly, moving forward, Coach is the one I am least worried about. I'm not worried at all. He has potential. On that, he had a simple curl route, and I might be making too much of this, but the curl route, he did it perfectly to me. He had a hands catch, didn't get into his body. He worked back to the ball, and he finished the play strong. We know he can run fast. We know he can do the curl route. I want to see how he progressed in his route tree. And I'm not that worried about him at all. I think he's going to do just fine. I'm happy with our receiving core going forward. That is one for this group. Doesn't bother me one bit. What do you guys think?
Yeah, on Sammy, agree. I think it was just a case of, I mean, he's been having a super camp and put in the work, lost weight, got in better shape, better condition. When I saw him there, I didn't have a chance to see a lot of the practice, but just the way he carried himself, to me, he came across, he was one of the first guys down to practice early, working the drug machine, staying after to work it. He just had the appearance of a man on a mission. And I think last night, I would personally attribute it to he wanted to show I'm the guy that can take the place of Martavis. And I think he just was trying way too hard to make something happen instead of just letting the play happen. And I think he was just fortunate. And he was trying to prove too much. And I think if he just relaxes – and play like you can, like in Denver in the playoff game. You know, not a big deal in two catches, but 60-some yards. If he just relaxes, I think he was trying to do way too much. If he does that, they'll be fine. The other one as well was another guy was Eli Rogers. Only had like the one.
Dave, I think you got some background music going on.
Not me.
Yeah, it might have been me. Something popped up and I turned it off. And then the other guy, Eli Rogers, been raved by camp, was raved about last year before he got hurt by Ben. Ben likes him again. Only had the one catch, but looked smooth and by all accounts, I mean, didn't see a lot of them, but what I saw looked good. And if he can return punts as well, I know Tomlin says he doesn't live in his fears, but I think at the same time they'd like to get Antonio Brown off punt returns. So Eli looked all right. He didn't show a lot, but what he showed kind of confirmed he's a true slot receiver, which we don't really have, except for AB, who can do everything. We don't have that little guy, that little pain in the butt guy. When I think of a Wes Welker or I think of a Julian Edelman, and he just finds a way to get open. I think that's what Eli Rogers can bring. So, I don't have any real concerns about the receivers. And Hebe is, to use Bob's phrase, and to the degree, he is who we thought he is. He's fast, and he made a big catch, but he also drops himself. But, yeah, receivers will be fine. I'm not worried about them.
Okay, I'm going to do another shocker. Darius Haywood Bey is going to be your starter at the week one.
No, I don't see it.
Okay, wait a second.
Do elaborate.
This is me talking. I'll let you get in. We're going to start with a 3 wide receiver set against Washington. Bay is your best blocker. He's your fastest wide receiver. So they're going to start him, Wheaton, and Brown, 3 wide receiver set. The tight end will probably be James, and Williams will be the running back. Instead of the one guy coming out is Roosevelt Nix. So I got right now, my number one, you know, is going to be AB. Then it'll be Wheaton. I think Coates and Bay are fighting for 3. Whoever doesn't win goes to the 4th wide receiver, but you're almost never going to go to a 4 wide receiver. And then Eli Rogers is going to be the 5th guy and going to be the punt and kickoff return guy. I love him in the slot, just like you did. I loved him when he was at Louisville.
Go ahead.
Ayers isn't going to make the team. He's not going to beat out. I seen him at the his pro day or something like that. He's slow. He's not going to get any faster. He's a good football player. He did that reverse. He did that in college. He runs, you know, at a running back sometimes, goes out for passes. He's not going to beat Eli Rogers out. Eli Rogers is going to play good on the special teams. So there's your 5 wide receivers. Rogers looked good yesterday.
I would love for you to go ahead and put down an offer, to put down a bet on Keith coming back and Haywood Bay being the number 2 receiver, because I will take you up on that 10 times out of 10.
I said he's going to start the first game.
That's more likely, just because of that trust factor. But so you saying that, does that mean that you think that Coates could, that what we're seeing from Coates isn't just nerves, and that this could be a recurring problem, that you don't have much confidence moving forward with him?
Yeah, he was that way in college. He had drops. Brian has drops, too, and everything like that. So does Bay. But Bay is the fastest wide receiver we have out there. He's going to run those deep routes. He's faster than Wheaton, and he's faster than Coates, and he's faster than Rogers. So he's going to run the deep routes and everything to get Brown open and everything like that. So I think he's going to be – so I got $2 million up on this. I got Keith coming back, and Bay's going to be a starter week one.
Well, I don't want to go ahead, Matt, if you're going to say something else there.
I was going to say, you better have a heck of a pension going on there, Sabo, because I'm taking you up on that.
I'm going to lose my house, my car, my dog.
You might lose your dog there, which, you know. No, to me, I mean, the term starter is kind of, unless you're talking offensive line, you know who the starters are, and a quarterback and a quarterback. But with the wide receivers, unless you're talking number one, which is Antonio Brown,
yeah,
the way they use the different personnel groupings, starter is a relative term. So you can, like you said, you can kind of hedge on that. The Steelers run their 11 personnel, the three wide receivers, by far the most. I saw the numbers on it this last week. It's about 65% of the time. That's easily their most predominant thing. So you're going to have, more than likely, as I agree with Sable, that the third wide receiver is going to be between Haybay and Coates. And Haybay, you're right on both. He's the fastest wide receiver we got. And he's also, again, I agree, our best blocking wide receiver by far. So he brings a lot. And like you said, last year, Ben hit him early in the season when Bryant was suspended. Remember, against the Niners, he right after short punter turnover, one play, bam, 30-yard touchdown on a post. Hit him against Cleveland towards the end of the year. So you're right. He still utilizes his deep speed. So you were right just about everything. So that second one, I'm not patting you. You were right on with all those. And I think if you want to go with what you said about Rodgers versus Ayers, they like Rodgers. The thing about Ayers, I agree, he's a good football player, can bring you some stuff, but he's such a similar player to Rodgers that you don't need to keep two. They both do the same thing. They're both shifty little guys that can return punts and play in the slot. So there's really not a need for two, and I agree that right now they're so high on Rodgers. Ben, if Ben likes you and wants to throw you, you're going to be on the team.
Well, here's my third thing. Ayers is going to make the practice squad. He's a practice squad guy.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Certainly. If they cut him and he clears waivers, which, that's the only risk you take there. Whenever you cut him, you got to clear the waivers. But, I mean, he's a sixth-round draft pick, so, it's not like, so it's likely that he will. And, yeah, he'd likely make the team. And like I said, he didn't blow anybody away with his combine speed or anything like that, where somebody might go, hey, look at this guy getting out there. So, yep, I agree. I did like their reversion. He almost seems like, with the fact that he played running back a little bit in youth and he does those little things, he almost fits into one of those little Haley special toy categories like Chris Rainey and the other diminutive guy, Dree Archer. He almost fits into that category, not quite, but he's that type of player. But yeah, I agree. Probably practice squad for Ayers.
If anyone wants to call us on the Bay thing too, they can call 347-850-8581. So we got someone wants to talk about the Bay, my stupidity with Heath coming back.
there's got to be people angry about this game from yesterday. Yeah. I mean, they got all their anger out on
me.
On the website.
Get mad at me.
One more thing on Rodgers. I don't know if y'all heard this. I believe it was Ed Duchette who tweeted out. I'm pretty sure it was. Todd Haley called him the best slot receiver that he has ever had. Which,
wow.
I mean, you just don't hit it. So if Haley says that, it's done. He's making the team. You're not going to release the best slot receiver you've ever had. So I agree completely. He's making the team. Ayers goes to the practice squad. He is anything like the other, shifty gadget players that Haley brought in, the Rainey's, the Archers. Keep him on the practice squad. Don't get him on the field because we have enough of those. We want no more of those. All right, guys, moving on from wide receivers to the running backs. And to finish out our offensive segment. Running backs. It looked kind of what I expected. Toussaint looked pretty good. No fumbles. Thank you for that, Toussaint. And everyone else was kind of what we expected. Richardson had, maybe the most impressive day. I think definitely the most impressive day of our running backs. He had burst. He had good footwork. He had decisiveness. Ability to get around to the edge. He's someone who I definitely want to watch moving forward. At the same time, I don't see them keeping another running. You would have to beat out Toussaint to make the roster, I think, because you got Bell, you got Williams, you got Rosie Nix. That's three, and then you got either Toussaint or it looks like Alan Richardson. So they're not keeping five running backs. That's not happening. So, and I personally don't think he's going to beat up Toussaint, but we'll see what happens. What do you guys think on the running backs? What do you think?
Yeah, like I said, Toussaint, yeah, he was in there. He wasn't in there a lot. He actually did well on special teams, which, again, makes him valuable. I was a little surprised they had him as, not talking about his running, but they have him as the returning kicks because he's not particularly fast or shifty or anything, and he had a couple decent returns, but surprised that they had him doing that. He's proven what he can do. He's a tough guy. I like him. I don't think he has any particular burst or anything. He's going to get you what the offensive line gives him. He'll get that, but he runs hard. He can catch, and he did well in pass protection. So moving to that with Richardson, yeah, he showed the burst. He showed he had some nice runs. I'm not sure. He's been in the league a little bit, played for the Rams. I'm not sure why he got cut. My thing, I mean, if Bell's suspension holds up, they're going to need to keep at least three on the roster, you would figure. So Richardson seems to be that third, at least right now. The only thing, I didn't get a chance to see him much to see how he did in pass protection. Because for me, my number one thing, like I said, with Toussaint, he's the real number three. My number three running back, you got two jobs, hold on to the ball and pass protect. And anything you do after that is bonus. Honestly, I mean, for what you come in, that's all we expect of you. So that's the only thing I didn't see on Richardson I don't know about. But other than that, yeah, I think he'll likely make it with Bell being out, and they'll probably try to put him on the practice squad after that. And the other guy is that little guy that he got in towards the end of the game, Brandon Brown Dukes, that Tomlin refers to as Mercyhurst, because that's where he played. He didn't get a chance to do a lot. He's little. He's less than 5'8", and that might be stretching it. So hard to say. He didn't get a chance to do a lot. But, I think Richardson looked really good running the ball.
Yeah, I think Toussaint's going to make the team, and so is Richardson. We forgot about Bell's going to be missing for four games. So they're going to have Toussaint and Richardson are going to both be in at least for the first four games and everything with Nix and Williams and everything. But here's something about Richardson not too many people know. His rookie year, he was my fantasy pick in my rookie in his rookie year. I had him on my team.
Wow.
I can't believe it. He gave me like four. That first year he was good. He had 400 yards and everything. He's going to make the team. It's going to be him and Toussaint and Richardson the first four games. After that, whoever's playing better. Toussaint, I don't know if that fumble is going to affect him that much and everything, but he said he's not sleeping right after that fumble. And I think he's your third guy, and I think Richardson's your fourth. I think Toussaint is a better blocker than Richardson. So there's your running backs. And that kid from Mercyhurst up in Erie, he looked okay. He looked like a little jitterbug. I mean,
yeah, he's short, but he's listed at 200 pounds, which means he's not, he's got some meat on him. So, you kind of root for those guys, but I don't know what his chances are. Practice squad at best, probably.
I don't root for him. Anyone smaller than me is not going to play in the NFL. I'm sorry. I know how tough it was for me. He ain't making it. It may be practice squad. Here we go, another practice squad guy.
Yeah,
I don't think. No.
Yeah, the backs look good. There's no question that the Steelers are making sure we never have to suffer through another playoff game with Josh Harris and Ben Tate and Dre Archer as the running backs.
Oh, God.
Top to bottom, I think we would take any of the guys we have right now over any of them. That was just something that never should have happened. Give them credit. They fixed the problem. They're bringing in young guys. Williams is probably the best free agent signing in the NFL last year. Definitely
great.
One of Colbert's best. It was, yeah, great, great, great signing. So confident with the backs moving forward. About to switch over to defense. Want to take a minute and get a word from our sponsor, Frank Walk.
Smart or stupid? Those strobing lights in your rear view? That flashlight shining in your face?
License, registration, and insurance, please.
The little adventure you're about to have with this guy?
I'll need you to step out of the vehicle, please.
Okay, so you've done something stupid. Fix it with a smart move.
For DUI or criminal defense, call Frank Walker of frankwalkerlaw.com. He knows his way around a courtroom. 412-532-6805. 412-532-6805 or frankwalkerlaw.com.
Of course, our sponsor, Frank Walker Law, top criminal defense firm to call in Western Pennsylvania and West Virginia, and home to one of the nation's top 100 ranked trial attorneys in Frank Walker. Our show is also sponsored by Centerfield Smoke, the best and most unique Pittsburgh sports apparel provider for Pittsburgh fans everywhere. Check out their website, centerfieldsmoke.com. And one more time, the phone number to call in is 347-850-8581. That's 347-850-8581. Got a bunch to talk about. First football game I've had in a while. It's the first one of the year. We're excited about it. Coming, getting the conversation as we move on to the defense. But if you got offense to talk about, you got one to talk about Favre's crazy Heath idea, talk about Hayward Bay, talk about whatever, just call in and let's get going. All right, guys, defense. This is really, if offense, had some bad spots, defense definitely had some bright spots. You can name someone who stood out from, front to back. I thought the D-line had good pressure. I thought guys like Hargrave stood out. But Carter Matthews was the opposite of Cam Thomas, which was to say that he was good. I'm comfortable with them. They look good. Of course, with Cam and Tua not out there, it wasn't the dynamic that dynamic defensive line that we expect. But as far as our backups go, they did a lot better than I thought they would be. Hargrave had pressure. He played the run well. He looked like, I thought, the most impressive rookie out there ahead of, Davis or anything like that. So what do you guys think? Initial thoughts on the D-line?
Yeah, woohoo! Finally, we get to talk about a rookie draft pick that can make an impact, and we haven't had that in a few years. Hargrave, from before the draft, if we followed it on Behind the Steel Curtain, and he was a guy that a few guys, Fear 94, had talked up, and you looked at him, and then we actually drafted him in the third round. I was so excited, and all the talk at camp. And I saw him this year at the training camp. Had a chance at the Friday Night Lights. We're right down near the goal line. They have to be running at the 5-yard line, one-on-one, offensive line, defensive line. And his first rep against B.J. Finney, who, by the way, has been looking really good. They liked him last year anyways. It happened so fast, I turned to my daughter, and we were like, holy, got under Finney, turned him, and flipped him, and ragdolled him. And it was like, wow. And I saw another rep when we were watching at camp. And in the game, yeah, you watch versus the run. He's on the one, he swam past the guy, hit the back in the backfield. You saw the pressure several times on the near interception in the red zone. I think Vince Williams tipped and Shamarco could get. He was right in the quarterback's face. I saw him anchor. Which I think the biggest question mark on him and the area is probably going to need to improve most is playing right over zero tech, nose tackle. Can he, you know, handle the double teams and anchor? But so thrilled, and this is the guy that Christina, when we were at camp, was worried about me because when the players come up after practice, you can't. Sometimes they don't have their number jersey on. So if they're new or you don't have a familiar face, you can't tell who's who. But as it turned out, it's Hargrave. He's tough, and he turned around, and I saw his distinguishing feature, which is his natural leverage. I said, "Oh, that's Hargrave." So then she was kind of worried. I was taking pictures of a guy's butt. But anyways, this guy has it. I have no doubt. He's coming. He's thrilled. I've never been more excited around a first-round pick in a while. And like you said, Ricardo Matthews, people were worried, oh, we got another defensive lineman from San Diego, another Ken Thomas. No, he played with energy in San Diego. He played with energy last night. He was getting penetration. Like you said, we play our nickel 70% of the time. And Hargrave and Matthews, when he was in San Diego, played a similar defense where they had their guys lined up as the three tech or the one tech, which is what we do with Tua and Hayward. So two guys that can give our two studs some breather so they're not playing 90% of the snaps like last year. So Walton and the other guys, I think Walton and Keshav Lyons will be fighting out for the sixth defensive line spot. I didn't see a tremendous amount from either. I didn't see them get embarrassed, but I didn't see a lot. But a lot to be excited about between Hargrave in particular and Ricardo Matthews.
I think Hargraves is going to start over McCullers. McCullers didn't even look too bad yesterday and everything. But who impressed me was Ponytail, Ricardo Matthews.
Yeah.
That's what I saw first on his was his ponytail. And I said, this guy keeps on making plays. Maybe I was just looking at the ponytail. But just like Matt said, all three of these guys, including Walton, are better than Cam Thomas and everything. So who's going to be your nose tackle? We know who one and two is. Hargraves, McCullers, Matthews, and Walton. That's your top six. That's a heck of a defensive line. I mean, if anyone gets hurt, let's say even Hayward gets hurt, Hargraves moves in, Ricardo Matthews, that's not that bad of a defensive line. The other way, Tua gets hurt, same way, Hargraves moves in with Matthews. There's a drop-off, but it's not like it was last year when Cam Thomas had to come in. All of them did good. That's not a bad defensive line.
Just I want to weigh into it. I forgot about McCullers. McCullers looked okay. He did what he does where, you know, he just basically going to bull rush. The thing that I was, if I want to say surprised me about McCullers, they had him in certain packages playing in the nickel, playing the same type of like three tech with the nickel. And I was surprised, and I saw the snap count, how long they kept him out there. He played just over 50% of the snaps. And I could tell by the end he was looking a little gassed, and maybe the Steelers were just trying to see how conditioned he was because, you know, big guys, they can't usually play a lot of snaps. But that's the thing that surprised about me, how many snaps McCullers got and the fact that they used him in the nickel were generally big hoss like that. You know, he's coming out and you bring the pass rushers in, but no, I agree. We're in much, much better shape than we were last year. So,
absolutely, absolutely. And it was, I mean, it was fun to watch. It made you excited to see pressure from backups, and because Cam Hayward will never admit that he wants to get off the field, but the guy needs a break sometimes. So does Tua. And if one of them gets injured, like Tua did last year, and we can't just have the Kansas City Chiefs run all over us all game long. So I'm confident. I feel great about this moving forward. I'm excited to see what they do next week, what they start doing in the regular season. Another group I'm excited about, although we didn't get to see all of them, is the linebackers. breaking news, in case you guys didn't know, James Harrison is good at football. The guy is a monster. That was nuts. I mean, you're resting guys like Jarvis and Hayward and Tua, and 39-year-old James Harrison is in there, first series, gets around the tackle, strips and sacks Matt Stafford, and it's just Debo being Debo. He's made that tomahawk move, his move, and he's been doing it on QBs for 10-plus years, and he looks great. I was disappointed when he didn't see Jarvis, disappointed when he didn't see Bud. I was telling Fred yesterday, it was like, we got a Christmas present because we got football, but I can't open it. I got to wait, at least a week, to see, you know, the guys I really want to see. But linebackers looked good. Shazier popped, literally was making plays in the backfield, popped out on the screen, popped the running back in the backfield. Shazier was doing Shazier things. He looks dynamic. What do you guys think? What are you thinking of our linebackers?
Yeah, like you, I was disappointed we didn't get to hopefully see if Jarvis can do some healthy salad against Brown, but can he step up the pass rush? And of course, Bud. I mean, he's better condition. He lost weight. He's been working on the technique and use of his hands, which is what he needs, because he has that head off. But the second half of last year, they figured out that's what he's got, and then they stopped it. Another guy that I was hoping to see, he did play, but I was hoping to see more from, who's been having a fantastic camp and impressing people, was Chickalo. And he didn't do a lot. It was kind of quiet. I was expecting to see more. He's been when I was at camp, that Friday night backs on backers drill. And that was right down there to go. I got to see both of those. And Tomlin was very enthused about that drill. He ran the drill himself. And after Chickalo was beating player after player, he yelled out, "Can anybody block Chickalo?" And finally, DJ David Jonathan Quinn took him. So yeah, a lot expected and was hoping to see more. And it was, you know, Joey Porter, Peasy is high on him. And Chickalo was saying he loves it because this is what he wants to play as a linebacker. They made him play defensive end and tackle down in Miami. And he was a linebacker coming out of high school. So he said he's loving it. He loves his coaches. He's learned a lot. And I was just kind of like, and it didn't. So just disappointed to see him from him. Yeah, Shazier did Shazier things, and Tim looks fine. A guy that also looked good in camp and played all right, had some plays in the backfield and broke up a pass, was L.J. Fort, who we picked up last year. He's been kicking around for a couple of years, practice squad guy and special teams guy. But he has a good shot. I think it's going to be – obviously, the three inside linebackers are set with Timmons, Shazier, and VW, and it's just who's going to probably fill the last two spots out of Fort, Steven Johnson, who was the free agent signing from Tennessee, mostly special teams guy, and then Dirty Red, Matakavich. So, but I was impressed with Fort. So, linebackers, and of course, Debo, yeah. The only thing I was disappointed in is they kept making third down conversion, and Debo had the strip sack, and I looked at my daughter, it's like, that's great, but we're hoping to see somebody else do something. We know Debo could do it, and the fact that it shouldn't be illegal for him to go up against a rookie tackle. That was just, he was rolling him. But
that looks like our deepest position, the linebackers. You got Shazier, he's your best linebacker. Harrison's your second best. There is no way anyone's going to beat out Harrison for the outside linebacker position. I say Jarvis Jones is our fourth best outside linebacker. At best, I think Chickalo might even beat him out this year. It's going to be Dupree, Harrison, then the inside linebacker is going to be Shazier. And are you ready for another shocker? Vince Williams is going to start over Timmons. I'm going nuts.
You are just throwing
7,
out these predictions.
5-0, 8-5, 8-1. Timmons is going on his last year of the contract. He's not going to be back. Williams is a free agent too, but it's going to come a lot cheaper. I liked what I saw of Vince Williams yesterday. I liked what I saw of Vince Williams last year. It's going to be very close between him and Timmons and everything. Chicolo will probably be the – is he going to be the fifth or the fourth outside linebacker? I mean, where's Travis Feeney? I liked him in college.
He's
not going to make
this. Hardly practiced. He hasn't hardly practiced. Disappointed there. You know, waiting to see what he might be able to do. He kind of is in between. He's really light to play outside linebacker, but you figured even if he could, with his athleticism, help on special teams or something, don't know anything about him right now. He's kind of in limbo. But agree with you on Vince Williams and Timmons. Next year, for sure, I think Vince brings it, man, and he's great. He's got an attitude. He's physical. He's what you want in a buck linebacker. And his so-called lack of coverage skills have been greatly over-exaggerated. He does fine in coverage. He's got no problem.
He's not that bad in coverage, I'm telling you.
No, he's not.
We can make some trades. Zumwalt ain't going to make the team. Need him, Stevie Johnson, the special teams ace. I can't – do you see him beating out who to make this team? The fourth inside linebacker?
Well, that's what I said. They'll probably keep five. And the only thing with Johnson, and I think they just kind of fell into it, when I was talking with him the other day about him making it or not, it's rare, and I agree with you. I don't know. He's on the bubble. I don't know if he's going to make it. But it's rare that the Steelers sign a free agent, albeit, you know, no big name, that doesn't make the team. Usually when they sign them, they make the team, but there's always a first time. I agree with you. It's going to be close because that Matakevich guy, another guy they like to pull for, I watched to see him come in, and the first play he had a nice tackle and a little screen or swing pass, but then the next play and a run to the opposite side, he ran around the tackle to the outside of the back, cut back in. So he's still got a ways to go to prove it, but I think his hat's in the ring there.
He looks like he was calling the defense. He was telling people where to go. I mean, a rookie would be doing that. I know it's going to be the middle linebacker has to make those calls. In all these years, Lawrence Timmons was calling the plays, and Shazier now is calling the plays.
Yep.
I mean, and I think of Vince Williams, when he was in there, I think he was calling the plays, too, from the linebacker position over Timmons. I'm not positive, but I'm almost. Yeah. I mean, L.J. Fort looked good. I can't see him making. He's got to be some trades. You're going to be cutting some good ball players.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, there's no question that inside linebacker is our deepest position, and that's saying something after losing Spence and Garvin, and we give credit to the Steelers. They retooled and re-upped, and some would say even improved. I don't know about that, but it's a debate to be had. We are pretty set inside linebackers. My only problem with the backers is how Butler uses them sometimes. It hurts me to see Devo covering Marvin Jones, you know, 10-plus yards down the field and expecting them to do something. And they do what he does with Vince Williams, too. Vince Williams is 10, 15 yards back in coverage, and that's not his strong suit. Don't do it, Butler. It hurts me. Don't do it. He does it all the time. It's one of my pet peeves, guys. I'm going to vent about it until he stops it. Because on that pass to Marvin Jones, that's Jones, right? Marvin Jones.
Yeah.
He had that great, you know, toe tap and catch on the sideline. Gay was in good cover, but Gay is behind him. Gay's job is to make sure, you know, he doesn't get beat deep. James Harrison is underneath, and he's down, you know, 10-plus yards down the field, and he doesn't even jump for it because he just has no chance. And, you know, we saw Lawrence Timmons get absolutely destroyed by Jordan Cameron a few times a couple years back. That is my biggest pet peeve of our inside linebackers. Not saying they can't. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I remember Marvin Jones got. I don't have the whole field view to know, but, I mean, it just depends on there what defense they're calling. And if it's one where the outside backer being Debo there has to buzz out to the underneath and he drops in and when Gay was playing deep, they just hit him in the pocket. But, and I know sometimes that, the tight ends have to carry him down the seam, but that I hear you, Matt, but that happens with every defense. But look at the Panthers with their linebackers. One of the reasons people, the Legion of Boom, and then they got those great defensive backs. So one thing that makes their defense, pass defense, so effective, they ran, of course, it's a little different scheme than LeBeau ran, but they ran primarily a cover three, which what LeBeau ran. And the key there is the linebackers can cover underneath and tighten those windows underneath. So it's just a fact of life that sometimes your linebackers, and you gotta cover, and if they occasionally get put in a spot where it's not to their advantage. and Marvin Jones matching up near Debo is not to our advantage, but it happened.
Freddie, I was watching that play, and to me it looked like, and I think you said that too, that Harrison was out in the flat and dropped a little bit farther back because he did see Gay on that side not coming up fast enough and everything.
Well,
like, I don't think
right.
Harrison wanted to go that deep.
No, and what you do is, like, if you're in the flat and if there's nobody challenging you in the flat, you just drop them, get depth. So I think it just hit there. Although, if you remember last year, to bring to your mind, last year against the Chargers in the Charger game, now you're getting a flashback here. It's not good. People talking about, right at the end of the half, the Chargers were driving down and trying to get more points. And Debo saw the play coming, and he buzzed out. The Chargers had, like, time for one or two plays, and he tried to hit Danny Woodhead out in the flat, and Debo went out and broke it up. So he does his job out there once in a while.
Yeah. So everyone agrees.
That was just my. Everyone
is going to be your guy. Anyone think Jarvis Jones is going to either start or be the third guy on the outside?
I think he's going to start.
I think he's going to start. I know they said last year that I've heard talk from Joey Porter that they want to kind of decrease the rotation they had going last year. If they want to save Harrison, last year, even though they rotated, when you look at the breakdown and the splits, in the fourth quarter, it was Harrison playing, it wasn't Jones. So whoever you want to call the starter, when
played
it came out of crunch.
Most percentage,
But I would love, and this is what I was hoping before last night and hoping to see Chico this off, I would love for Chicolo to go and make the coaches a tough decision. Like you said, does Chicolo, the third guy outside, Jones, does Chicolo play well enough that the coaches have a choice to make between the two? I'd love for that to happen.
Yeah.
Best situation, Jarvis, and, not getting his option picked up, he proved something this year, but he's had flashes. I mean, he had a strip sack in the playoff game against the Bengals going around Wentworth, who's one of the best left tackles in the game. I don't know. We'll see. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be seen.
Fred, in his career, you're good at numbers and everything. How many sacks Jarvis Jones have?
Off the top of my head, I think he's got five.
Five. Five exactly in his career. Can you believe that?
I can believe it. And if I'm Jarvis and I do not start this year, I am mad. I am insanely mad because you've been taking me off the field on third down since I got here. And what I do is I rush the passer. Hey, if I'm Jarvis and you're going to again sit me in my contract year, I'm going to be mad as all hell, especially if it's for Chick-fil-A or something like that. The guy,
why wasn't he mad 3 years before this and everything?
I'm sure he is, but when you're getting benched for Debo, But when you when you're taking him out and putting Debo in on third down, you're gonna have less sack numbers if you're Jarvis Jones. I don't know. I'm
just
a
like
Clinton
said,
advocate.
I would love to it to come down between Jarvis Jones and Chiclo. Oh, here's the A B money. Oh, would I love that. We're gonna do defensive backs. We gonna have time or what?
Yeah, we're gonna move on to defensive backs, and from there we'll probably end the show after that. So DBs, this was, ups and downs galore all over the field. The ups, you know, of course, being Dorian Grant. Where the heck did this guy come from? I mean, he was cut last year in the practice squad, and then signed back. Everybody had low, if any, expectations of this guy moving forward. We kind of forgot he's a fourth round draft pick, saying, you know, he'll go to safety, he'll be a backup there, we'll see what happens. Grant surprised me. Shamarco Thomas surprised me. He surprised me by the fact that he didn't interfere on a punt or anything like that, which is a vast improvement for Shamarco. He looked better. I mean, he had opportunities to get a pick, just tipped the wrong way. Grant, of course, had a pick six. And what impressed me even more than that was his tackling. His tackling was solid. I mean, out in the flats, bringing down guys inches and bigger than him, and he's got tens of pounds on him. He was nice. What I'm a little bit concerned about is Cockrell, because we're counting on him so much, and he had some good coverage at times. Other times, you know, he was getting beat. He was getting beat by Lions receivers that aren't anything super special. So I'm a little bit concerned about Cockrell, not overly concerned, but excited as everything about Grant, and to a lesser extent, Shamarco Thomas. What about you, Fred?
Yeah, exactly. Now with Grant, and I'll just start because I had to get this out. I'd be on the NFL Network last night. They had the Steelers broadcasters, and it was Charlie Batson and his partner. And both he and then at halftime, they had Art Rooney talking, and both the announcers and Art Rooney referred to Grant as Doran Grant. And I didn't know the way his name is spelled. Is it Doran? Is that how? So I got it. When I was at training camp, got a chance to meet Grant, and I asked him, I said, hey, I don't know how to pronounce your name. And how do you pronounce your name? And he laughed, and he said, just think of Duran Duran. So for anyone who has any doubts, I got it right from the horse's mouth. It's Duran. It's Duran Grant. It doesn't kind of spell like that, but all the Steeler guys are saying it incorrect. But he told me himself. So I was thinking that when he had. Yeah, I agree with you. The tackling more than anything, I was impressed with. Bring physical, and that's what you need if you're going to be a Steeler corner. So that more than an interception. I mean, interception. He was in the right place at the right time. And even though the fact he wore number 24, he didn't have Ike Taylor's hands, he was able to secure it and get the touchdown. His dance, not quite a Willie Gay number, but no, impressed with him. And like you, Shamarco, I think the best I've seen him, not that saying much, but he seemed to be active. He can always hit. And on one thing, I know people, that one blown coverage, where he got the 28-yard touchdown, whatever it was, when the safety blitz, it was actually Grant that blitzed. That was on Grant. They showed the clip. I watched it. They were supposed to be in man-to-man with one safety deep, which was golden. And if you watch on the replay, Grant didn't get the call, or he missed it. He blitzed. He wasn't supposed to. You watch the replay after the touchdown, Shamarco was walking over, putting up one finger like, we're supposed to be in man one. So that was not on Shamarco. People were thinking, oh, he didn't get over. It wasn't on him. Grant got the wrong call. So, yeah, another guy, hoping to say, excited to see SD, Sean Davis, best delivery, you know, and, of course, with the injury to Golson, he's been taking a lot of the first-team snaps in the slot, even though he was drafted more to play safety. So he started in the slot last night. Kind of a rough welcome to the NFL. The old veteran Anquan Boldin spun him around. You saw Davis got turned around, and then to top it off, couldn't make the tackle and bounced off Boldin. So a rude welcome to the NFL, but He did have some nice run fills that, I think he'll be all right. He just got to learn I think we're going to see with him, though, with the Golson injury, the domino effect, because Golson was lining up the very slot guy. He was running with the ones. Willie Gay had nothing but great things to say about him. So then when you could take Davis, if you can get Golson inside, you could do Davis. Once he gets more familiar, they've been playing him at different spots. So I think that means they want to – you can use – he becomes like a wild card. We can use him wherever. We can put him as a six, the dime back. We can put him in a slot. Use him with strong safety and blitz him. Now when you use Golson and if Davis is forced in the slot, it just kind of – it limits your options, so to speak. So that's the domino effect going on there. Although Montel Gardner, who got in later, I didn't get a good chance to see where he had – he started taking some – snaps in the slot in training camp. So Davis, not great, but he got in there. I think he'll be fine. He's got the physical tools. So overall, yards we gave up last night, I don't worry too much about that. The guys were active. They played fast. If Shemarco and if Duran to give us something, that's a bonus I don't think anybody was expecting. So, overall, pretty positive.
Golden's a starter. I don't think Sean Davis beats him out. Duran Grant, as you put his name, had seven tackles. If he did have the wrong call and he blitzed, he got there late. If Shemarco sees that he is blitzing and doesn't pick up the guy, whose fault do you think that is? I'm seeing the play in front of me. Grant blitzes. Guy flashes open. Shemarco doesn't see anyone in his zone and doesn't come up that fast because we were in man.
No,
I'm
he was,
buying it,
no.
But
Shemarco, I watched what you know. Shemarco had man-to-man coverage on either the tight end or the slot guy. He was running with him, and then he tried to peel off once he saw the
– So, okay.
I was listening to Hillgrove.
I didn't see it. Sean Davis looked good. He's a great tackler. Just like you said, Bolton spun him around every which way, and everything. Here's the breaking news. Shemarco did not look too bad. Just like you said, that's about the best he played since I remember and everything. He might make it tough. It might come down to Grant or Shemarco to see which one makes the team and everything. Cockrell was okay. He's probably going to be your starter until Artie Burns is ready, which I don't know if that will ever happen this year, but I think it's going to have to, but I don't know. They didn't look bad. I was looking for that Donald Washington. I didn't see him too much. And that Gardner. I didn't see too much of them and everything like this. I was listening to Hillgrove.
Okay.
Was doing the radio. And then today when I got home, I watched it on television. That was Charlie Batch and Bob Pompiani. They were doing the game. So I saw that. But it's tough to listen to Hillgrove and see what's going on and everything like that. And they got Craig Wolfley's on the sideline. I don't even know why he's there. I mean, Twinch Elkin tries his best, but I don't know why Wolf. You can't get – you're watching – you're listening to the game. I have no idea, with the play, because when they go to talk to him. Who got injured? Was it Gronkowski? Gronkowski gets injured. So Wolfley's on the sideline. They go to him. And he said something like, what happened to him? He goes, he got injured.
Okay.
Maybe I missed the whole sentence that he said before that. But, yeah, I know that, too. I don't know. I mean, I like listening to them when I'm watching the game.
Yeah.
I think if it's not a big name doing it, I'd rather listen to Hillgrove and Twinch do it. But Wolfley doesn't give me too much. Sorry, that's a.
It's interesting that you mentioned Sean Davis' passing ability, because that's what was frustrating me. yesterday was I was yelling at my TV, wrap up, because I mean he was laying his shoulder, he was giving a hard hit, putting his shoulder down. The guys were, like Bolden was bouncing off of him, and then he did it again later in the game. But that's an easy fix. I mean, that's just wrapping up. That's just technique. I'm not really worried about Davis at all like that. I mean, he wasn't as flashy as Grant or anything, but again, first game, we'll see what happens moving forward. All right, guys, we are running down on time. Final thoughts of the game before we head out of here?
Well, just like I said, don't read too much into it. You don't know what the coaches are looking to garner out of it. Certain guys they want to see play. The one thing I was going to mention about the corner of Thorson, I noticed a lot of, they ran like a series of corner blitzes. They were like hot. And I think that I heard they were doing it more in camp. So just look to see them do that more this year. I heard they were doing it more in camp. So just like that, they're trying stuff out. So I don't read too much into it. They're trying different things and just beta testing. That's it.
My final thoughts are on the special teams. I cringed when Boswell tried to make that tackle and everything. And, wow, it was really good to see that Will Monday punt.
Yeah, I think Barry's got it wrapped up with a couple of 60-yarders.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice. That was surprising. I heard a report out of camp that he had one day where he booted an 80-yarder, like a legit 80-yard punt. He looks good. He looks like his job is safe. All right, guys, as the clock is winding down, I'm going to go ahead and sign off. So that's it for the first edition with a new name of Black and Gold NFL Recap. We'll be back with y'all next week. Call in, so for Matt, Sabo, and Brett, we're signing off. Want to, of course, wish D'Angelo Williams a happy birthday. And we will talk to you all next week. Have a good one, guys.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.